Good morning, everybody. I hope you're doing super great. Welcome back to a new podcast in this Resistance GT. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and thank you very much for listening to this. The day of today, we have a special and different podcast, way more different than usual, guys. This time, I would like to share with you one of my favorite authors and one of my favorite books. I read this book a couple years ago. I'm going to give you some background, right? I felt lost. I felt with no power within myself, no self-confidence. I was at the lowest point of my life, like literally touching rock bottom, guys. I was fat, overweight. I didn't feel confidence talking to other people, talking in front of public. However, everything changed when I first met this great author. I actually found about this author when I was in one of my aunt's house, and she had a library, and in that library, I was looking for a book, and all of a sudden, I came across this amazing guy, and all his teachings, right? He puts all his teachings in such systematic way that everybody can understand. And that's what I like about this guy, right? And when I came across this first book, which is called The Power of Now, I discovered a new world, a new way to see the world, and I started behaving in that way. Of course, at the beginning, it was difficult. It was not as easy as the book said, but with enough effort and putting what's necessary, right, to develop the kind of mindset and skill set that you need to go and conquer, even when I say the world, there's nothing more that you have to conquer than yourself. So without further ado, I'm going to get started, right, and I hope you like it. We're going to read first an introduction, a little bit more about the author, right, and why did I decide to choose this kind of book, right? The Power of Now, guys, as you know, probably you don't know, it's like a guide to spiritual enlightenment by this guy called Eckhart Tolle. This was first published in the late 1990s and has since been recommended by Oprah Winfrey and translated into 30 different languages. The intention of Tolle's book is to provide a guide for enlightenment for the average person in his or her day-to-day life. Probably the word enlightenment, you probably heard it before. It's like a self-realization of your true self, of who you really are and why you're here and what's your purpose in life, you know? So this book has a lot of good hints and a lot of good things that I hope you enjoy, right? But to be more specifically, Tolle teaches the reader how to reach enlightenment by living in the present moment. A feat easier said than done, right? The book draws from a number of spiritual traditions, from Buddhism to Christianity to mysticism, to create belief system based on lifting people up and out of the emotional mental traps they've created from themselves. It teaches the reader how to simply be aware of the present rather than becoming preoccupied with the past or future. The past is gone, the author wisely points out, and the future will only be negatively impacted when all thoughts associated with it are anxiety-driven. Tolle proposes that many people's chief source of pain is their feeling that they need to control their life. I'm pretty sure everybody has felt this before. He sets for several practical everyday methods of relaxation and meditation to help anchor us in the present. When we do so, and when we relinquish control and fear, we're able to transcend our own minds, and we're finally in our path to enlightenment. We're able to lay our egos to rest and simply be. Just please note that this book is not meant to be a substitute for the whole book, right? This is not a substitute, this is just a summary, okay? About the author, Eckhart Tolle was born in Ulrich. If you have seen Dark, Ulrich is a place that is sixth, right, in Germany. Well, I was placed in Ulrich, Lerner Tolle, on February 16, 1948. in Germany and now resides in Canada. At the age of 29, Mr. Toh experienced a deep inner transformation, which permanently altered the course of his life. He spent the next few years studying and intensifying the transformation. Well, today, Mr. Toh is the best known as the author of The Power Now and A New Earth. In 2008, a New York Times writer declared Toh the most popular spiritual author in the United States. In 2011, the Watkins Review named him the most spiritual influential person in the world. So, first chapter, first title. You are not your mind. The main obstacle to enlightenment. Our own minds and our own inability to calm our minds are our greatest barriers to enlightenment. The voices inside our heads are constantly and compulsionally self-criticizing, judging, doubting, and commenting. As a result, our views of reality are distorted and negative, and we ourselves are almost always drained and full of fear. How do we become free of our minds? By remembering that we are pure consciousness. Consciousness has little to do with the negative thoughts trotting through our minds. Instead, consciousness is awareness. When we are conscious, we are aware, meaning that we're able to watch our thoughts without judging or labeling them, without allowing them to affect our vitality. They pass over us, not through us. This is how we gain freedom from our minds, and this is the first important step to enlightenment. The ability to be still, sit back, and be impartially, or even lovingly, aware of our thoughts. The next step to enlightenment is to rise above our thoughts. With our busy lives today, our minds are always racing. We're constantly thinking about our next task, our next appointment. How are we going to fit everything in? But it's not necessary or even healthy to be thinking all the time. The mind is a tool to be used when needed and to be allowed to rest and recharge after being used. The mind is needed during work or a difficult project, but can be allowed to rest when relaxing at home, exercising, taking a walk, or enjoying carefree time with loved ones. And keep in mind that allowing the mind to rest doesn't necessarily mean entering a meditative state or doing nothing. It simply means being aware, being only in the present moment, and not allowing your mind to race to a time or place outside of the present. Emotion, the body, and the mind. When our body reacts to our state of mind, we have emotion. Emotion reveals itself through tension, tears of sadness or joy, shallow breathing, a racing heart, laughter, clenched fists, etc. Whatever the mind is thinking, a corresponding emotional reaction will take place in the body. By carefully monitoring our body's emotional reactions, we can be more aware of our thoughts and feelings. Action steps. Number one, the first step to enlightenment is consciousness. To elevate consciousness over thoughts, practice sitting quietly and observing your thoughts without judgment. Number two, practice rising above your thoughts by disciplining yourself to remain fully in the present moment. Don't allow your mind to wander. Don't form questions, judgments, or commentary. Simply exist and enjoy. Number three, gain a deeper understanding of your thoughts and feelings. Carefully observe the way your body responds to different mental states, thoughts, and emotions. Consciousness, the way out of pain. Refuse to create more pain. When we feel emotional pain, it is nearly always a result of our minds not being present. We live in the past and become mired down in regret, guilt, and bitterness. We think about the future and feel fear, anxiety, maybe even greed. But when we strive to exist only in the future and remember that the past is gone and the future will be now at some point, we're able to free ourselves from pain that cannot possibly benefit us in any way. Pain and body. Pain body occurs where past emotional pain accumulates and takes up residence in our minds and bodies. It is a heavy burden for us to carry around, and it continues to grow as we add more pain. This residual pain can overcome us if we do not learn how to shed it. In what sense does it make to submit to pain that no longer has any relevance in our lives? So, how does one shed pain body? Again, the answer is being present. Being present means, by definition, that you're not suffering from past pains. Of course, being present can be easier said than done. Here's a simple exercise. Sit quietly. Watch the emotions in your body. Feel them without labeling them and judging them, without saying, oh, this is anger, I feel happy, I feel I can do this. No, just sit down quietly, breathe. Just allow them to be there. Accept that they are there and they are part of you. Remove any negativity from your mind. Soon, you will feel those emotions start to dissolve and you will only be left with consciousness and peace. This consciousness is the real you. The origin of fear. Okay, so there are two types of fear. Instinctive fear and psychological fear. We feel instinctive fear, which is true fear, when we are threatened with an actual danger of being hurt. We feel psychological fear when we become fearful of something that may or may not happen in the future. Psychological fear is not real fear because there is no immediate threat. Let's say, for example, you are at the edge of a cliff. That is real fear because if you fell down, there is a big and high risk that you will die. Psychological fear, for example, is when you see a cockroach flying, right? There, you might shout and say, oh my God, I feel fear. But that's psychological fear because it's not threatened your life. Okay? Psychological fear, things like stress, worry, and anxiety arises from not being present. You know? It's just thinking that something it's going to happen or might happen. And to free yourself from psychological fear, teach yourself to be present by observing your thoughts and emotions as they move through your body and then eliminating any that are associated with either the past or the future. The ego and the future. The ego is part of a mind, not part of a consciousness. The ego causes us to feel incomplete and insecure. It makes us seek fulfillment by trying to fill our lives with superficial and temporary pleasures and accomplishments. It tells us, once I get that job promotion, once I buy that big house, once I'm married, once I lose weight, then I'll be happy. But the ego is false. It misleads us by asking us to live in the future. When we reach consciousness, you will be able to see beyond your ego. You will learn that you are already whole and complete in this very moment. There's nothing wrong with having goals and working towards achievements. But even if you never accomplish any of those things, you're still complete. You're still happy. You have fulfillment. So, some action steps. Number one, shed pain body by being present. Sit quietly for about 5 to 10 minutes. Put a chronometer. Shut off social media. Put 5 minutes on the chronometer. Don't do nothing. Just literally sit and breathe. Observe the emotions in your body without labeling and judging. Remove any negative from your mind. Free yourself from psychological fear by observing your thoughts and emotions and dismissing and discarding any that are associated with either the past or the future. Number three, look at past egos. Remember that you're complete and whole right at this moment, not at some point in the future. Moving deeply into the now. Letting go of psychological time. Okay, so there are two types of time. Chronological time, as in the time tracked by a clock, you know, by the sun, and psychological time. Chronological time is real and practical and an unavoidable part of everyday life. You cannot stop the sun to set or to rise. But psychological time, on the other hand, is not real. It only exists in the mind. Psychological time causes us to live in the past and relieve our pains. Or it causes us to worry about the future. Oh, I don't have enough time. Would I have enough time to do this? What we must do instead of focused on the past or in the future is focus on the present. Psychological time causes us not to honor the present, and we must reach enlightenment. Remember, the present is not just a means to get to the future. The present moment itself is a gift for you, something you enjoy and cherish, not something simply to barrel through to get to the next stage or goal. Suffering as it relates to time. Much of our suffering relates to psychological time. We feel pain, guilt, regret, a bitterness when we dwell in the past. We feel stress, anxiety, and fear when we spend too much time thinking about the future. Well, this suffering serves no purpose. So why burden yourself with it? Learn your lessons from the mistakes you've made in the past. Then move on. Constantly hit your chest saying, oh, why me? I'm so bad. I shouldn't have done that. You know? It's something that you did or you did not. But before you do it, think about the consequences that might or might not happen. Learn from your lessons. Set your intentions for the future. Then bring yourself back to the present. Some action steps. Work hard to avoid falling into the trap of psychological time. Remember that relieving the pain of the past or feeling fear about the future serves no purpose for you and in fact causes a lot of suffering. Mind strategies for avoiding the now. Lose of now. the core delusion. The ability to exist only in the present is a shift in consciousness that something happens dramatically at all once, but more often happens gradually and almost imperceptibly with a lot of work. However, awareness is a key first step to the shift. When you are aware of those moments, when you are not present, you have been taking an important step towards consciousness and enlightenment when you are present. Ordinary unconsciousness and deep unconsciousness. Most people exist in ordinary unconsciousness. Ordinary unconsciousness is a state where we are governed by our egos and we are unaware. We may not feel pain in ordinary unconsciousness, but we do feel chronic disconnect, boredom, or anxiety. We accept this as normal living, unaware that we could be far more peaceful and content. How do we move beyond the state of ordinary unconsciousness? The first step in dissolving ordinary unconsciousness is to become conscious, of course. This seems simplistic, but it arises from the same principles we have already covered. To be conscious, we release ourselves from the past and the future and only focus on the present. If a thought is not relevant to the present moment, we acknowledge it, then let it go. We observe ourselves in the present moment, noticing the sights, smells, sounds, and tastes around us. We observe the way our bodies feel, the way our muscles move, or the feeling of our clothing against our skin. We release the moment. We literally hug the present moment. We're happy with what's happening right now. Some action steps. To remove ourselves from a state of ordinary unconsciousness, we must become conscious. Release yourself from the past and the future and only focus on the present. If a thought is not relevant to the present moment, acknowledge it, then let it go. Like when you are looking at something and you're thinking about something else, bring back your mind. Look at your mind, how it goes around and how it's like a crazy animal going all over. Tame your mind. By breathing, you take back your own self. Breathing is an excellent exercise you can do. Try to do 10 conscious breathing. Breathe in, breathe out. It sounds easier said than done, I promise you. When you are in the fourth breathing, you're already lose count and your mind is thinking about something else again. Try to do 5 conscious breathing and you will see how difficult it is to tame the mind. Notice the sights, smells, sounds, and tastes around you. Observe it. Observe what is around. Observe the way how your body feels, the way your muscles move, or even the feel of the clothing. This is the best action steps that you can take. The state of presence. Presence is not something that we can think our way to. Instead, it is anchored in the conscious aware of our bodies. It means being fully present to each moment, in being still and open. It means letting go of psychological time, even chronological time, of letting go of thinking and analyzing and allowing our minds to shift into a state of pure consciousness. Action steps. When you feel too much anxious or you feel sad and sorrow because of the past, try to do this exercise. Look for a quiet place. A place where you're not going to be bothered for the next 5 to 10 minutes. Sit down or lay back. Better sitting down. Next, observe to 5 different objects around you. Name 5 objects. For instance, you can say bottled water, television, radio. Say it in your mind. Do not mention them. Look at them 3 times in the same order that you're doing. Same order. It doesn't matter if you don't have it perfect the first or the second time. Okay. Now that you've served something, close your eyes. Breathe. And listen to 3 different sounds. It could be the sound of a bird, the sound of a motorcycle, the sound of a car, the sound of somebody opening the fridge. It could be anything. 3 different sounds. Don't imagine what they are. Then, with your eyes closed, touch 3 different textures. Look for something that is outside you. Don't try to touch yourself. Don't touch your jeans. Touch something else. Touch the wall. Touch the table. Touch the chair. Look at all these textures being so different. They feel so different in your fingers. If you have the opportunity, try to taste 2 different things. It could be a candy. It could be something sour. If you don't have that chance, by just looking, hearing, and touching, it's enough. You will see how your anxiety goes down and how you are back in the present moment again. The inner body. One way to become conscious is to use your physical body as a point of connection with your being. When we connect deeply with our bodies, we are able to move away from psychological pain. Connecting to the body is a great way to guide yourself toward being more present. To connect with the body, close your eyes and feel the energy flowing through your hands, arms, chest, legs, organs, etc. If you can't feel any life energy, simply focus on what you can feel. It could be anything, a tension in your muscles, the breathing. Simply observe your body. These sensations will grow as you practice. At first, you might feel, well, why am I doing this? I feel crazy. With more practice, you will see how consciousness will bring to you a state of peace and joy that you never experienced before. Okay? Portals into unmanifested, the presence of now. The unmanifested is the life that exists within all things. It is the inner essence of everything that exists. When we teach ourselves to come into the now, we merge with the unmanifested and draw on its vital energy. We call this unmanifested energy in different ways. The most common way to call it is the word God. Each of us carries an unmanifested presence of the now. Sometimes we find ourselves accidentally and suddenly connected to the presence, but there are different ways we can purposefully connect with it. Here are the techniques. Each one to be practiced for around 10 to 15 minutes at a time. Okay, you ready? First, you have to open the flow of chi by taking attention away from the external world and being aware of your internal energy. Cessation of thinking. The constant dialogue going on in your brain is one of the main hindrances to our connecting to the now. Meditation is an excellent way to achieve cessation of thinking, which is the same techniques I told you before. Surrender, letting go of mental or emotional resistance to what it is. Accept it. Something is happening, accept it. Be grateful what's happening. Silence, paying peaceful attention to the silence that is between the sound. The nature of space and time. The ultimate purpose of the world is actually transcendence of the world in order to the unmanifested to be realized. We need the world to exist, just like we need objects to exist for space to be realized. And in order for the unmanifested to be realized, you need to exist. Your purpose for being on Earth is to help enable the divine purpose of the universe to unfold. Your purpose, well, I'm going to repeat, this is amazing. Your purpose for being on planet Earth is to help enable the divine purpose of the universe to unfold. You make the purpose of the manifested, you can call God if you want, to being able to manifest. Without you, there wouldn't be any God, because you would never experience it. I'm talking about you, not the essence. The unmanifested exists if you exist or not. But if you don't exist, the unmanifested doesn't exist for you. Some action steps. Try these techniques to connect with the noun. Okay? I highly recommend this thing. It's very nice. As I tell you, open the flow of your chi. Breathe in, breathe out. Think conscious breathing. Sit back. Look at yourself. Look around. Position 5 different things in your room or wherever you are. Close your eyes. Listen to 3 different sounds. Touch 3 different things. And if you have the ability, taste 2 different things. Connect with your inner self. Enlighten relationships. Relationships and suffering. Much of the suffering we experience can be traced back to relationships in some way. We're constantly bombarded with messages that are entitled to great friendships, family relationships, and romantic relationships. And without them, there's no purpose to life, and we will never achieve happiness. Well, Toll, which is the author, disagrees and encourages us to consider how we allow our relationships to extract us from the noun. Let's say, for example, love relationships. At some point, most love relationships become love-hate relationships. We don't think twice when our romantic relationship swings back and forth between loving, affectionate, and hostile tense. We look for ways to eliminate the negative aspects of our relationship. But this is futile. Love and hate are two sides of the same coin, and they depend on each other to exist. They are simply different aspects of the same dysfunction. Being in love makes us feel complete on good days. On bad days, we acknowledge that we have become addicted to the other person and we are at risk for incredible suffering and we were unable to lose them. But the purpose of long-term romantic relationship is not to make us feel complete or happy. It's to bring out the humanity and the pain inside of us. Relationships make us more consciousness. Especially when we let the relationship take its natural course without trying to control it or impose our expectations on it. Some action steps. Spend some time quietly focused on the fact that none of us are entitled to derive happiness from our relationships. That is not their purpose in our lives. Instead, their purpose is to show us pain, humility, and humanity, and to give us a glimpse of our very essence. Think about the ways that you are controlling in your relationships. What would happen if you simply allow the relationship to be? Withdrawing your expectations and notions of fulfillment. With this, I mean when you say, well, he shouldn't be behaving like this. She shouldn't be talking to me like that. You shouldn't be doing that. You have to do this. You must do that. Why do we try to impose our thinking upon somebody else? Let them be. If they do bad, let them be. If they do good, let them be. Observe. not don't judge, observe, and then take action, take decisions. If you don't, if you no longer want to be with this person because this person makes you feel sad because of their actions, then you will take conscious action and you will leave this person. Why? Because now you say, okay, this person makes me feel bad. I'm not thinking about, oh my God, but I love this person. Oh my God, he was good 20 years ago. You are not like this. I remember when you were. Yeah, when you were. But you are right now something different. The present moment, you are like this. And I don't feel good right now. And I don't expect you to change in the future or feel things that happened to me in the past. I feel happy for what happened to me in the past. I'm not expecting something to happen in the future. I am living what's happening right now and I feel happy and grateful with it. That's finding peace beyond good and bad. The first step is finding peace, is accepting things as they are. The dualism between good and bad is misleading because any circumstance, even ones that causes us pain, can move us closer to peace. Indeed, many people find that it is only after they have experienced a lot of suffering that they truly learn to surrender and accept and forgive. It is in the state that they find enlightenment. The ego. Most of the things in life that we perceive as bad are created by the ego's need to control. Repeat. Most of the things in life that we perceive as bad are created by ego's need to control. We battle with others, people's egos, causing drama and discord. We battle our own ego, causing inner turmoil. But when we let go our ego and expectations and simply accept what it is, the drama will leave our lives and we will find peace. The cycle of life. We all know that we experience cycles of good and bad in our lives. But it's the ego that defines things as good and bad. We see cycles of bad as negative. Memories to be pushed aside and avoided. I don't want to feel anymore like this. But down cycles are essential for spiritual realization. It is when we are down and vulnerable that we are most drawn to spiritual dimensions. Instead of resisting down cycles, we should strive to find ease in life. We should learn to move with the cycles of life and recognize that the happiness that we feel during good cycles is superficial and fleeting. It doesn't compare to the deep joy of peace. Letting go of negativity. Well, our egos use negativity to manipulate reality. This is where our fear, anxiety, and need for control comes in. But we can overcome negativity by choosing to be present when it arises and letting go of it. We all experience irritations, big and small, every single day. By being neutrally mindful of these irritations and conscious of how they affect us, we soon learn that we are manufacturing our minds and negativity actually serves no purpose. The best is to practice the nature of compassion. Some believe that extractment from cycles of good and bad can lead to disconnection from others. However, the opposite is true. When we are free from our expectations, when we become free to reach out to others with genuine compassion, first, learn to accept the life. Accept the life cycles of bad and good as they are. They are part of life and part of learning. Instead of dwelling in feelings of negativity, let go of them and focus in the present moment. Develop real compassion. Eliminate any expectation of other people and see them as not bad or good, but as someone that you are connected to in a deep spiritual sense, It could be your mom, your relationship with somebody, okay? Somebody that you might feel, oh, okay, this person should be like that. My mom should have been talking to me like that because she's my mom. Why should your mom, like, act upon the ways that you want them to act? Be yourself. Let people go. Let people do their things. Be compassionate. Don't judge them. Remember, they are humans too. And they have things in their mind that you probably don't understand. They also have fears. They don't know what you know. They probably haven't studied what you studied. They are not as educated as you are. Look at them with the eyes of compassion. Understand. And then allow them to be free. Allow them to be happy. Let them be happy by their own. Set two. That's it. I hope you are enjoying this podcast. I really would like to hear your comments on it. What do you think about it? How can you bring present in the moment? How can you be more happy with this, guys? How can you bring happiness, enlightenment, consciousness, awareness to your life? I hope this helps you and I hope you like it. Thank you very much for synthesizing. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great weekend.